There are many things about which I can speak with a fair level of confidence, if not authority. If you want some scripture interpreted for you, I'm your girl. If you'd like some advice or tips about how to sit with someone or talk with someone who's having a spiritual crisis or something, I may be able to help you out. So there are a lot of things that I know a little bit about or a fair amount about. Fishing is not one of those things. Fishing in the first century on the Sea of Gennesaret or whatever with, you know, old-fashioned boats and big, huge nets, even less so. But fortunately, there are people who know more about it than I do, who write history books and stuff, but still, I can't really tell if the advice that Jesus gives to Simon Peter and to James and John about fishing is good advice or bad advice. I don't know if it helps to go deeper or cast nets at a different time of day or whatever. I don't know about fishing advice. And really, quite honestly, neither should Jesus. I mean, he's a carpenter. He's a carpenter turned preacher. So, you know, if they want to hear about the Word of God, which they did, they came to listen to him. And when they want a couple of boards nailed together, they'll give him a call. But then Jesus says, hey, Simon Peter. Hey. Well, he calls him Simon. He'll call him Peter later, but Luke gets them, you know, uses them interchangeably there, which gets a little confusing unless you know they're the same person. So Jesus says, hey, Simon Peter, hey, James and John, bring your boats out a little further into the water. Go out into the deep water and cast your nets there. And Simon, who's been very patient this whole time while Jesus has co-opted his boat to use it as a mobile pulpit and sit in it and talk to the crowd, says, you know, Master, we have been fishing all night. We do this for a living. This is our thing, okay? And we've been fishing all night. We've been casting our nets all night. We've been on this lake all night. And if we, who know the water and who know the boats and who know the nets and who know the fish, haven't caught any fish, then there's a pretty fair possibility then there ain't no fish to catch. But I'll humor you. I don't want you to be embarrassed, and I hope you're not, but I'll humor you. And so Simon sends his boat further out, rows his boat, I don't know how he does it, gets his boat further out on the lake, and he casts the net over the side. And when he and Jesus try to pull the net back onto the boat, it's so filled with fish that they can't even pull it onto the boat, so they call the other boat over, and James and John come over too, and they are hauling on this net, and it's so overflowing with fish that when they get the nets into the boats, both boats start to sink. So I guess he knew a little bit about fishing. And immediately, Peter recognizes what's going on here. Peter recognizes that this is something miraculous, and he's terrified. He says, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. And you are quite obviously a man of God. You are quite obviously a prophet, a teacher, a visionary, a holy one. And I'm not worthy to be in your presence. It's a terrifying, terrifying thing to hear the call of God or to listen sometimes to what the voice of God is saying to us. And the first thing that Jesus tells these early disciples is you've got to go deep. Now, in this evening's game, if somebody says go deep, what they mean is we're going to throw the football really, really far, right? What they mean is take a risk, push it. Push it. Go way out. We're going for the Hail Mary pass, right? The long pass. And we are either going to pick up huge yardage. See, I know a little bit more about football than I do about fishing. We're either going to pick up huge yardage and possibly score a touchdown, or we might lose possession of the ball. You know, it's the sort of thing that the Patriots like to do in the last couple of minutes of the game and give everybody hope that they're going to make it to the Super Bowl, but no. Not that I'm bitter, it's okay. But it means take a risk, right? And sometimes one of those first risks is believing that you've been called at all, believing that you've heard the call of God at all. I mean, we give Simon major credit for not saying, okay, man, you're out of your mind and we're going back to shore now. I was fishing all night and I'm not casting the nets again. So he answers that first call and he does go deep. But it's a risk, isn't it, to believe that then that God has called us, that we could somehow receive that call, because we know that we are a broken, sinful people of unclean lips. We don't feel worthy. Because guess what? Nobody's worthy. It's not about worth. But we don't feel worthy of receiving God's call. And so, like Simon, we say, whoa, 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 get away from me. I'm a sinful person. Like Isaiah, we say, whoa, woe is me and my people, because I am a person of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. I cannot speak the word of God. And so sometimes that first big challenge that we have to overcome, that first big risk we have to take, is believing that it's God calling us to begin with, and believing that that happens even to messed up, broken vessels like us. And that God speaks and through and uses messed up, broken vessels like us, and that there's something we can do for God, but it's going to be risky and it's going to be outside what we're comfortable with, and we have to take that leap out in faith. We have to go deep. The other way that we have to go deep, another way that we have to go deep, is that we have to go out to where the fish are. You're not going to catch a lot of fish, at least I don't think so. I think I understand enough about fishing to know that you don't catch a whole lot of fish if you and your net stay on the shore. And maybe probably not even too many if you take a few steps into the water and you fish in the shallow part of the water. You have to go out to where the fish are. Now, we very quickly are tempted to make this into a metaphor about church growth or something. I think it has a little bit more to do with something else that I'll get to in a second. But we very, very quickly want to say that this is about church growth. And that this metaphor is telling us that we need to go out to where the people are in the city of Montpelier. And we need to get a big, huge net. And we need to throw it around them. And we need to drag them in, kicking and screaming, with great resistance. And that if we do that, you know, if we push the metaphor that way, it becomes something else. It says something pretty bad about us, actually, because you don't go fishing like that for the sake of the fish, because you like fish and you want to help fish. Well, you might like fish, but not, you don't care about the fish. You don't want to help the fish. You want to eat the fish. That doesn't particularly say anything nice about our motivations, if that's what we're trying to do. If we're just trying to catch people and drag them in, then that's about our need, and that's about our selfishness. It's not caring or compassion for the fish. So we can't totally stretch the metaphor that way, because it gets a little fishy if we do. You know, you take the net, you pull them in, you know, and then all of a sudden the church is filled. I mean, we're packed to the gills up in here. We're stacked in like sardines. I mean, we don't know what to do. We're floundering about. I could do this all day. I don't know much about fishing, but I know the names of fish. But what happens if you do that? If you have all these fish or all these people that have been kind of dragged in under false pretenses or almost violently or have been coerced, right? Fish out of water are not happy campers. I don't want to harp on the subject.
They carp a lot.
They carp a lot? Oh, okay, thank you. They're not happy campers, right? They're gasping for breath. They're spiritually dying. Then they become angelfish. It keeps going. Get the hook. Nice. Nice. No, that's not what this story is about, right? This story is not about pulling people in. It's not about doing a bait and switch. You thought you had a pastor. You got a comedian. I won't quit my day job. All right. The story is not about pulling in as many people as we can pull in just so we can pull them in, right? That's not what faith is about. That's not what evangelism is about. That's not what sharing the good news is about. And that's certainly not what Jesus is telling the disciples to do. So I don't think that when he says, from now on, you're going to be fishing for people, or you're going to be bringing in people, that he means that we're to go out and capture folks and force them to be Christian or something. But I do think he's talking about invitation. And it's wonderful that he's talking about invitation to people who fish with nets and not with poles and lines and hooks, right? Because when you fish with a pole and a line and a hook, you're catching one fish at a time and you picky, you know, this one and not that one, and throw the little ones back and all this stuff. the invitation with the net is far-flung. It is indiscriminate. It is God's grace just thrown out there for everybody to be welcomed in and to be embraced. Not in a violent, we're going to gather all the fish and have a great fish fry, but in a wonderful, this is an invitation to come and see something magnificent, to come and be a part of something. And that invitation can't really be offered from the shallow part of the water, where just our toes are getting wet, or from the shore where we feel safe and comfortable. That invitation can only be offered out in the deep where the fish are, so that it can be authentic, so that it can be honest and true, and say, you know, I'm just like you, and this is what I've found, and this is what gives me life and meaning and purpose in my life. But I think go deep means one more thing, and it means go deep inside ourselves. Go deep in our own faith, in our own spirituality. That was the method to the madness behind the spirituality types and styles and the different gifts and different resources and different ideas and tools to help us grow in our faith. Because in order to invite others and take that risk and go to a place where we're meeting people where they are and offering a wide, far-flung invitation to come and see, we need to know what it is that we're offering and what it is that we're excited about. We need to know what it is that we believe. And if our faith is shallow, then we don't have a whole lot to offer. If our faith is just kind of surface level, then we don't have anything to hold us strong. I'm not saying that when we're rooted and grounded in faith that we don't have any more questions. We have questions. I'm not saying that when we're strong and rooted in our, and grounded and deep in our faith that we don't struggle, or that when we struggle we accept it like saints and we never doubt and we never falter. I'm not saying we don't make mistakes. We do those things all the time, obviously. Obviously. But the deeper we go in our own faith, the more we can trust and rest secure in the promise that it's God who holds us. And it's not our own worth. And the more we can know who we are in God, who we are to God, who God is to us, what we believe at the very core, the very foundation, the deepest part of our spiritual selves. And we need to know that individually so that we can say, you know, this is who I am. This is who I, Becca, am as a person of faith. This is the truth I cling to. At the end of the day, when all else has been shaken and shattered and stripped away, I believe that there is a God who loves and guides and calls me, and that somehow or other I can respond to that. Or I believe that there is a being of infinite wisdom and strength who has made all that is or infuses all that is, and so it must be holy. It must be God's. Whatever it is at the core of our spiritual belief, we need to know who we are. And if we express that or internalize that by thinking or feeling or being or doing, that part doesn't matter as long as it's strong and we nurture it and nourish it and strengthen it. And then we also need to know who we are deep down as a spiritual people. And I think we're working on that. I think the people of Trinity, the congregation of Trinity, you know who you are as a missional people. It's very, very clear. You do that so, so well. And I wouldn't trade that for the world. I'm not saying that's a bad thing at all. It is magnificent. It is magnificent to behold a group of people who really know what their vision is, really know what their purpose is, their mission is in terms of reaching out to others and do it phenomenally well. But we're working to bring some more strength and some more cohesion, I hope, to who we are as a spiritual people, who we are as people grounded and rooted in faith. We don't all have to believe the same thing. But people who underneath it all are rooted in God's presence, in God's power in our lives, in God's vision for us as a church, and that's where everything springs from. And as we strengthen that core, as we strengthen that and go deeper there as a congregation as well as individuals, then when we cast our nets from that place, then when we take our risks and we go to where the fish are and we cast an invitation from that place, then we know to what we are inviting people. Then we know who and whose we are, so we know who and whose they are. And then we know the depth of the power and the love and the purpose to which God has called us, so that we can invite others to come and see. Come and see what we have found in Christ, what we have found in this place, in this church, and what holds us fast when all else is shaking and crumbling sometimes. But we have to go deep. We have to take those risks and push ourselves. We have to go deep into the mission field where the fish are. And we have to go deep in ourselves to where it is God's Spirit, God's presence, God's promise that holds us and grounds us and roots us. And then we fling the nets wide and we see how many, how massive, how abundant God's blessing and God's promise is. Thanks be to God. Amen.